So today we're gonna talk about forgiving others. This lesson is about forgiveness. Okay, so we're going to begin in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm gonna read from my Bible, right? New King James, and I'm gonna read 18, Matthew 18:21-22, and it begins like this. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And that's a lot of times, right? So this is what he's saying. We think that Peter thought he was being very generous to ask how many times he should forgive someone who sinned against him. Seven times in a day, do you think? And Jesus said, Peter, not seven, but 70 times seven. So that's 490 times. But it doesn't mean that after 490 times that you don't have to forgive someone, right? So what the Lord Jesus said was that's 490 and it's an impossible number of offenses, right? That's a lot of times. That's a lot of offenses. And that usually don't happen to us in a day, right? We may be offended maybe once, and sometimes at no times. Sometimes it's zero, you know? So it's very rare that somebody offends us or that we, you know, get bitter about something or whatever the case may be that brings unforgiveness onto your heart. So that doesn't happen often. But he was saying that forgiveness should be something that is on a continual basis. You know, as soon as you know, somebody offends you, just forgive. Because it should be on a continual basis. You shouldn't even think about it because we're Christians. And we shouldn't really be holding any offense against anybody. That's just, you're making things worse for yourself, not for them. They're going to go on and do their own little thing, whatever it is that offended you. And half the time, they don't even realize that they have offended you. And yet, you know, for us to hold on to that bitterness and unforgiveness, and that can literally make us very stressful and maybe sick at times, it's not worth it. You know, we always got to think about the Lord Jesus. He forgave us for so much. He paid the full debt for us, okay? So how can we not forgive, right? So here's saying that, you know, forgiving somebody, it should be, you know, continual. Just like the word says, pray without ceasing. Well, we need to forgive without ceasing, right? We have to do it as many times as we can, right? So it should be something, because the Father did it for us, we should be able to forgive quickly. Amen? So forgiveness should be the real attitude, the lesson is saying, of a believer. Because look at what the Lord said in Luke 23:34. And I'm going to go there now. 23:34 says, then the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Right? This is what the Lord Jesus said. Remember, the Lord was about to be crucified. It was, you know, the Romans had him arrested, but it was his own people that said, crucify him, his own people. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Amen. So even in that, I mean, just picture that act of forgiveness. Just picture the Lord. Remember when he was on the cross, these are the things he's saying. So that's not, he's our best example. Now, it's talking about Stephen, who was the first martyr, right? In Acts 7:60, let's go there. I always read from New King James. I really don't read from the lesson because it's a different translation. So I'm going to read from Acts 7:60 from the New King James. 7:60 says, "Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep," right? So not all people will receive forgiveness, but the attitude in the heart of a believer should always be to offer it, right? A lot of times we've heard people say, like, you know what, you know, sometimes we, you know, I've heard people say sometimes we should forgive even if we're in the right, just to get it off your chest. And a lot of times we don't like to do that. I said, no, they did me wrong. I have nothing to forgive, and I'm not doing it. You know, how many of us have been there, right? That become really stubborn. I said, they hurt me. They said this to me. They offended me. No. They don't deserve my forgiveness. But then you gotta put the Lord in the equation, right? And I said, what would Jesus do, right? Man, when we put ourselves and we see ourselves on that cross, the Lord paid our full debt. We didn't deserve it either. Yes, those people that hurt us, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, guess what? Neither did we. And yet the Lord forgave us. And he forgave us much. Right?
Yes.
So, we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about forgiving others. So, the Lord Jesus, it says here, he tells a parable about forgiveness when he continues in verse 23 of Matthew. So, I'm going to go back to Matthew 18, just a few scriptures later, because now he's telling a story, right? In Matthew 18:23, and this is what it says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king, right, who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And in the lesson, it's saying that it was like $10 million. That's a lot of money, right? At that time, so, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience." In other words, have mercy on me, right? "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to, let me go to the lesson, right? Because this, I think I went a little bit far. But here, in the Living Bible, it says that, you know, those, I believe it was 10 talents, was like $10
million.
Yeah. Right?
That's what it says.
That's a bit much. So here's the situation. Like, man, this makes a lot of sense, right? There's a man who actually owes $10 million to his master. There's no way he can pay it back. And he knows that he can't. And the master knows he can't, right? And in those days, as we know, in those days, you couldn't claim bankruptcy like we do today, right? But in other words, this is what it says. You would be sent to prison until everything was paid, right? So it even says that if you can pay, yeah, like if you can pay, guess what? They will take your family, your wife, your spouse, your children, everything you had.
Make them slaves, yep.
And, okay, I mean, that's a miserable life right there. That's a torturous life right there. So, and be sent to prison.
It's like right? Us.
Yes, exactly. Like
it's like us where we supposed to go to prison.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In God Father's eyes. You know?
And it's not temporary. You know, if you, that $10 million is a lot of money, how can somebody even today, like, how can you pay that back? You know what I mean? That's a lot of money. So he would be in prison for life, right?
Yeah.
And this man did the only thing he knew to do. He got down on his knees, right, and cried for mercy. And he said, Master, please, you know, be patient with me. I don't have this kind of money. I beg you, you know, I'll repay you. Whatever it is I owe you, I'll repay you eventually. Just be patient, right? And notice what happens in 27, right, which we read. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him of that debt, right?
Yes.
And we too, we had a debt we could not pay. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that's in Romans 6:23. That means separation from God for eternity. All the silver and gold in the world couldn't redeem us. Then God, right? God was moved, and he moved with in his compassion. And in his grace, because of the Lord God the Father, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to pay the debt that we couldn't afford to pay and we could never do. Amen? So God looked upon us, right, upon his people, upon us, with compassion, his compassion, and his mercies, and said, I forgive you of that debt.
Lord Jesus Christ. Yes.
Every sin, totally forgiven when the Lord Jesus died on that cross.
Amen, amen.
The blood that he shed forgave us of all past, present, and future sins. That's a huge debt. Because let me tell you, we're not perfect people. We're going to fall short. We might fall short today. We may fall short tomorrow. We're not perfect, and we need forgiveness of God.
Yes.
And we have that. And that is a huge debt that no man in this world could have ever repaid for us. It had to be the Lord Jesus, because he was a sinless man, and only he could pay the price for our forgiveness.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So it says here, this man has just been forgiven $10 million of this huge debt. Yeah.
$10 million.
But look at, my goodness. But look. But then somebody owed him $20. A fellow servant owed him $20. And he found him and said, I've just been forgiven. Now he's boasting, you know. That's what I read. I have just been forgiven $10 million. And what is $20 to me? That's nothing. I want you to be free as I am. So just let it go. It's okay. For I've been forgiven $10 million. And that's what should have happened. But it didn't go down that way. So let's read verses 28. Hey, Mark, you want to read 28 to 31? I could do it.
Matthew what?
Matthew 18:28.
18. Matthew 18:28, yeah. What did you say? What verse?
28 to 31.
Okay. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he had hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very, very sorry, and came and told him their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that, had called him and unto him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on my fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth and delivered him into the tormentors till he could pay all that was due unto him. Continue?
Yeah. We'll review it. Yeah, it's fine.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot in there, right?
My better glasses.
So yeah, here we have it. This fellow servant owed this guy that was forgiven much.
Yes.
Only $20. And he threw that fellow servant into prison because of $20?
Mm-hmm.
After he had just been forgiven $10 million? I mean, picture that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like this master was saying, you couldn't even, it's kind of like pay it forward.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's true, because, we're generous. We're quick to forgive. We're believers here, right? And I love to pay it forward. And I know you guys do too. You guys, I know you personally. You guys have blessed other people in secret. You know what I mean? Because we like to pay it forward and we forgive quickly. We know what is right to do. So the lesson continues on, and it says this man was then thrown into prison because of the way he treated his fellow servant, right? So the master, remember, the guy that forgave this first servant heard about this.
Right.
Yes, they went back and told him.
Yes. Why? Because
Good for him. Because
he was being boastful. Oh, I was just forgiven $10 million.
mm-hmm.
But yet, what was his heart? Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness. I said, the master told him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you of all that debt." Because you asked me. And I did it for you. Shouldn't you have forgiven this fellow servant of yours with compassion as well and just have pity on him instead of throwing him to the tormentors? So he turned around. So now I'm going to throw you into prison now. The same way you treated this fellow servant, I'm going to treat you. And now your debt has been forfeited. So now he owes it back. Wow. Yeah. And that was certainly a foolish thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was forgiven of all, right? So like you know, Brother Mark said in verse 35, right? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto us. If your hearts, right, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And it is foolish, right? Having been forgiven for all our sin, right? The wages of which are death to us, separation from God for eternity, and to refuse to forgive? Wow. And we beseech God saying, forgive me and have mercy on me through Jesus Christ. And when we accepted the Lord, that's the first thing we said, Lord, forgive me. You know, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, you know. But then you can turn around and refuse to forgive somebody else after you've been forgiving of so much. We're not just forgiven of our past past sins. We have been forgiven of past, present, and even those that we're not even aware of yet. Right? So he says, you know, we refuse to forgive someone else for a little thing, which we think is so big, like when somebody offends us. You know what? That's nothing. That is nothing compared to what the Lord has done for us. And a lot of times, and I put myself in, a lot of times I've been mad at family members. I haven't spoken to them or whatever. And you know, you kind of wake up and you say, what am I doing? You know, like, God just forgave me of so much, right?
And unforgiveness is like, it'll make stress on your body.
Oh, yeah.
Unforgiveness. And unforgiveness can, it's like poison, you drinking poison and expecting the other one to die. Because unforgiveness, I mean, I had unforgiveness for some things that happened in my life, and I realized that I had to go to God with it and say, and come to the realization that that person didn't know better, that that person was taught differently. So God opens those things up for you. That's when I realized God opens those things up in your brain, and you realize what, you know, you realize that unforgiveness is not good. It's very stressful. It will eat you up.
It'll eat at you because you're
But the Lord, he takes you through it, and you realize, wow, that person, I don't know what that person went through as to make him like that. I remember I said a Father's Day. I did a Father's Day. You guys remember?
Yeah.
I just want to say this.
Yeah.
I remember the end, the boy was treated very harsh by his father. But in the end, he sees his father in the wood. Like, I don't remember if he was dreaming or something, but he sees his father as a child in the woods. And he goes and he talks with him, and they're playing all day long. I don't remember if he knew he was his father. We're two kids, and so the father is telling his son, he says something like, they get to talk, he says, I'm not allowed to cry in my house. So he tells the little boy, you know, I'm not allowed to cry. You know how little boys are, how their house is in. And then the little boy said, that's when he realized that you really don't know what your parents were going through. You really don't know. It was a lot of difficult times. Those. I'm not saying that what they did was right, but I'm just saying that story also brought it to my attention that he was a little kid one time, and maybe something happened to him, and he saw his father in a different light. A man that his father told him, I could never cry, I could never show any weakness in my around my family, and Mm-hmm. It's part of forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you can go and then you can forgive them.
Yeah. That's very true. Like, we don't know people's stories.
Yes.
Everybody deals with things differently. Even, you know, I know, I think I realized this a few years back, but, you know, even at a funeral, right, you know, a family funeral, like, I would just smile and laugh because it was my form of mourning. I couldn't get myself to cry for whatever reason, you know. But everybody mourns differently. Everybody laughs differently. Everybody has a story. You're shaped by how you were raised, how you grow up. The hard knocks of life shape you and mold you. And until you come to the Lord. Until you come to the Lord and He just changes you. And He reminds you of things that you went through. He'll maybe reveal things that... a person is going through, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Revealing to you somebody's maybe past or something. You know, the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. And all we got to do is ask, right?
Yeah.
Ask, right. Because He is quick to answer. And His answer is going to be, it's going to sound like your voice is going to, you're going to recognize that voice. You know, the Word of God says that my sheep hear my voice. So we all can hear the voice of the Lord. And it would be an inner witness. It would be like an image. You know, you will see in a vision and a knowing. Absolutely. So, but yeah, you know, like we all have a story. People have a story, and we don't know what they go through. And for some of them, they don't know how to say, I'm sorry, right? What I've learned is a lot of military people, right, it's hard for them to say, I'm sorry, because they're trained to be these tough guys and women, and it just doesn't come out. But yet, their action speak that. You know what I mean? So, and this is where I find that, you know, it's much easier for me to forgive, because sometimes actions speak louder, right? And you just got to find it inside. I say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I'm good. God forgave me for so much. How can I not forgive also? And that's where, you know, when we walk the way the Lord did on here on earth, life is a lot better.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
And because He's the one that's reconciling. You know, I've been in relationships where, you know, we were at it. There was strife, confusion, chaos, misunderstandings. And yet today I can say the Lord is the God of restoration. He has restored many of my relationships that went sour at one point. And it may not have been, you know, any of us. It's just the enemy came to divide. He came to cause disharmony. He came with, you know, to destroy what God, you know, is planning to do and stuff like that. You know, we all have purpose. So the enemy's going to come and inflict, you know, conflicts and accuse the brethren, you know, and bring all kinds of stuff. But but we need to pray and forgive quickly.
Yes.
Because you don't want to carry that, you know.
Because you carry that and you can't carry it.
No,
it'll
crush you. No, we cannot carry that.
And don't carry that, nope.
Yeah, and we're gonna the lesson's gonna get. Amen. And the lesson's gonna tell a story now, right? And it's gonna go into what you said, Brother Mark, about stress and all that. So the lesson continues here, because the person who wrote this lesson, you know, is a pastor. So he's telling us a story, right? That at one time there was a young woman, right? in the congregation who was able to see things in the future. Okay? Got to see where this is coming from. So she came to him one day and said, is it the Holy Spirit telling me things to come and showing me things in the future? She's asking the preacher. And she said, I know when people are going to die and when someone's going to have a car wreck and things like that. And he said, well, you won't like my answer, but I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit. I think it's the spirit of divination. Remember, you know, like psychics do this, you know. So this witchcraft. So he says, I think it's the spirit of divination, the same spirit that followed the Apostle Paul around Acts 16. So, and then he goes on to say, he finally rebuked it, right, and commanded it to come out of that girl, and she lost her ability to tell fortunes. This is a story in the book of Acts. So, yes. So he went on to tell her that he wasn't God, but and he said, I want you to go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, what is telling me things and giving me this type of information? You know, what's going on here? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it something else? And then he says here that she came back to me one day, right, and said, I talked to the Lord about it and I think it's okay. And I said, well, whatever the Lord tells you to do, then that means it's right. I'm not God, so I'm not going to tell you. So he says this happened in 1986, and he says, do you know what happened in 86? We had a space shuttle called the Challenger, and 8 people went up in it. One of them was a woman school teacher. As this young lady was watching TV, she saw the woman saying, tomorrow I'm going up in the Challenger and talking about it. A spirit spoke to her and said, she's going to die. She's going to die. And then the next day when the Challenger was launched, it blew up. As we know, I remember that day. Oh, my goodness. As the world watched and all of the crew perished, the young lady came back to me and said, Brother Don, I think what's talking to me and giving me information may not be the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for me? Right? So she could recognize certain things that were happening, right? So yeah. So after a certain service, and after people had gone, you know, the minister wanted to pray for her, and he began, right? He began to command the spirit to come out. He said, you unclean spirit of divination, come out of her. But nothing happened, right? Jesus' disciples tried to cast out an unclean spirit, remember, of a young man once and couldn't do it. And I remember the Lord saying, you people of little faith, what happened, you know? And Jesus said, bring the young man to me. So I said, Lord, I thought I knew what was going on here, but I bring this lady to you. So even he was trying to cast out the spirit, but it wasn't working, right? So he asked the spirit. He asked the spirit of God. I said, what's going on? Can you show me, right? Show us what's going on here. And then he said that his wife was praying, right, with them. And God gave her a word of knowledge, right? Listen to this. This is the Holy Spirit revealing to the pastor's wife what's really happening inside of this girl, right? So God gave her a word of knowledge, and she said it has something to do with her mother. And I said to the woman, will you forgive your mother? The moment the pastor said that, a voice screamed out of her, say, no, she gave me away. Do you know that this thing just reminded me of somebody that I've been ministering to, and I never saw this. You know, like I've been ministering to her, and I said, and I just told her last week, I said, I think you need closure, because she was adopted. Until this day, she doesn't know who her real mom is. So there's a lot going on. But this story right here, God just showed me this story as, I got to go back to this girl and ask her about this, you know? You see how the Holy Spirit's revealing stuff even through our studies. Okay? So anyway, that voice came out and said, no, she gave me away. See, that's an orphan spirit right here. Can you recognize this? This lady was going, she had the spirit of orphanage here. She was walking and living in an orphan spirit her whole life. And then he said to her, I bind you, you unclean spirit, and asked the woman again if she would forgive her mother. She then forgave and released her mother and let her go by the grace of God and the help of God. And then she was able to let go by making the decision to forgive, and then she received her deliverance and freedom. You know, I heard from school one day, one of my professors said, how deliverance comes? When you repent. Like we don't really need to, I command you to come out, I rebuke you, get rid of. Like, we don't, you know, years ago, we used to do that a lot. Like, in Pentecostal churches, I remember even I used to do it. And we used to command. But what's happening, the minute you speak, not to the entity, you speak to the person, right? They need to forgive. They need to confess. They need to repent. And when they do that, it's just like the Spirit of God is there. And then
we're always forgiving, yep.
and that's it. That's all they need, right? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, this is really good. Amen?
Yes.
So... So it goes on, huh?
It's a lot of knowledge and good. It's wisdom.
This is really good. So it says, just like the Lord told the story, right, in the parable in Matthew 18, right? And he's saying here that if we do not forgive from our hearts after we've been forgiven such a great debt by our Heavenly Father, we will be delivered into the hands of the tormentors, right?
Yep.
And what are the tormentors? They can be all kinds of things. Demonic strongholds, oppression, sickness, depression, disease, and many other things like anxiety, stresses, suffering, infirmities. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. So the root is unforgiveness. You see, this is why it's so important for us, even when I think I said it last week, that let's not assume, right, that somebody wants prayer for healing. Because a lot of times, what's really happening in the inside is they are holding a grudge. They are walking in unforgiveness. And a lot of times before you even think about laying hands on somebody, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is happening inside of them? Can I go ahead and pray for this person? And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, yes, go ahead. They're ready for it. Or the Holy Spirit said, no, that's the root of unforgiveness. We need to tackle that first. There's the root of fear. We need to tackle that first. Remember, light and darkness cannot mix. God is light, right? It is the Spirit of God that's going to that power, that light, right? His divinity, divine health is what's going to flow out of you and touch the other person you're praying for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many times we need to ask, and I say most of them we should be asking, Lord, show me, can I go ahead and lay hands? Can I go ahead and pray for this individual? Like, Vinny, when I was praying before, Lord, I don't know this person's heart, but you do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So I can go ahead and pray and ask the Holy Spirit reveal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I can go ahead. You know, you want to pray the Lord's Prayer. You want to pray what He's telling you to pray. Right?
Yeah.
So we need the Spirit of God. We need His revelation. He's the revealer. you know? I got so much to say, but I got to keep it there, right? But there's so much to be revealed about the Holy Spirit. Like, I really want to bring, I think I'm going to bring a series on about the Holy Spirit, because there's so much to learn. You know, like, we should be, we are Christians. We are in a human body, but we should be living supernaturally daily. And this is where I want you guys, I want me to be living in the supernatural every day. This is why we do discipleship classes. But I am going to bring a teaching about that, you know, soon. Because we need to live in the supernatural. We need to live, you know, okay, Lord, am I receiving the green light, or am I receiving a warning, or am I receiving a red light? Because when the Lord says no, you need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord gives you peace, you need to go. When the Lord gives you a orange or yellow light, it's a warning. Whoa, inquire more. Don't make a decision. Don't be so hasty and don't make a decision under pressure. Just hold on. Move slowly. Move with caution. You know what I mean? So there's so much to be learned about the Spirit of God and about hearing His voice. And this is where I'm at. This is where, you know, I'm yearning for that. I want more. And as I'm receiving, I wanna teach it on to you. Even if I'm not there yet, in talking to you and in doing these lessons, we're learning together.
Yes.
We're learning together. Because I have not arrived. I won't arrive until I go home to be with the Lord. Every day is a learning lesson for us. You know, we're learning. Today we're learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because God gave me something new today, you know. That now I can go ahead and minister to this young lady about. I mean, he showed me her face. So God shows me a vision. Not everybody sees images, but I'm seeing more and more images. This is how God talks to me, right? So I saw her face when I was reading this. I said, oh my God. Anyway, but yeah, it's revelation. So again, here we have, you know, the Lord, man, it's so clear in this verse 35. My Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother, his trespasses. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in the wrath of God, you know. I do not want to be there ever. So, you know, and you can see right now as we read all these things that really come from that root of unforgiveness. That's a lot. That's major. So we really, as Christians, we need to forgive and forgive quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And not forgiving after we've been forgiven allows Satan an open door to your life.
Mm-hmm.
It gives him a foothold, right? So the Bible's telling us we have to make the decision to forgive, right? Just like the Lord's Prayer, right? Said, forgive as we have been forgiven, right? That's the Lord's Prayer. So let's go to Mark, right? 11:25-26. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. And this is what it says. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Amen.
So it's saying here that when we pray, if we have anything against a brother, a sister, or anybody else, we ought to forgive and forgive quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because unforgiveness should stay in our hearts How long? Only as long as it takes us to go to the Lord and pray. Mm-hmm. What did it say before when we started? 490 times a day?
7 times 70.
Right? So if we have the slightest bit of unforgiveness against anyone, we should just let go of that. Release them and say, God, I'm letting them go today, right? I release them to you. I forgive them right now in Jesus' name, because I'm making a choice, because you forgave me for so much, for such a great debt, right?
Right.
Amen. So it finishes with a prayer, you know. And so it says, Lord, I pray for anyone reading this lesson that has unforgiveness in their life, that they make a decision right now at this very moment to let that person go. So church, if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, even anything hidden, we need to ask God to reveal it so we can let go of it. And so we can forgive them, whether they're living or dead. And we pray that they will let it go and let that hurt be healed by your power and your grace today. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. This is a deep subject. No wonder there was a lesson with a prayer on it. Because we normally don't have lessons with a closing prayer, but this one did. So that's how much importance it gives to this. Because it really can stop you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. It can stop me from fulfilling what God has called me to do. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, we read most of the passages, right? I think that are on here, right? And we know the stories. So when we read Matthew 18:21, how many times did Peter offer to forgive? And the Lord corrected him. That's right.
Seven times.
That's right. And on the next one, it says, how many times did the Lord Jesus say we were to forgive?
Seven times 70.
And that is without stopping, continually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, how much money did this servant owe his master?
Yeah, millions.
10,000 talents. $10 million.
That's right. And that's, man, that's a lot of money. And it's so much money that he probably would have never been able to pay back anyway. He would have really...
He said he wouldn't be able to pay it back. He knew that he wouldn't be able to pay it back.
Yeah, and he would have stayed in jail forever.
My mother always said, when you give out money, make sure it's something you can give, because if you don't get it back, it won't work.
Right, don't expect it back, right.
That's good. I have lent people money, and they don't even make an effort to pay it back. I said, I just want to let you know that the money you owe me, because I want to make sure they know it, right? I mean, I don't know if that's sarcastic or not. God forgive me.
That is sarcastic.
But I did that. I did that. I want to say about maybe about 20 years ago, right? And I said, you know what? That money you owe me, you don't have to pay me back. Keep it.
But I was speaking to somebody today, and they asked for some money. They said they would pay me back. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it to you, because I know I'm not going to give it back. I said, you don't ever give it back. They said, that's not true. I said, it is true. But it's okay. I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Yeah, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? There's a reality there, because we know. And you know what? And if they pay it back, awesome.
Yeah.
Accept it.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
you know, okay.
Yeah.
I'm giving this person this money. I'm never going to see it again. So can I really afford to give them this money? Then you go, yeah. Then there's others that you're like, okay, I know this person is going to pay me back. So I'm looking for it back because and it's usually amount that you would expect to get back.
Yeah.
So I'm not lending you something and I know that if I don't get it back, it's going to hurt me or it's going to cause me to have unforgiveness for you.
Yeah, and you know, and the second time that money, it was the second time they came to me for money. The first time was sponsorship, but the second time was a loan. No, because it was sponsorship, so I did it out of my heart, right?
Oh.
But the second time was a loan, so difference. You know, so I was like, well, never again.
Yeah.
I said, we leave it at that. All right. Matthew 18:25, since this servant could not file for bankruptcy, what was going to happen to him and his family, I guess?
Which servant, the first one or the second one?
The first one.
1825, because it's 1825.
Yeah. He was going to lose everything.
It was the first one that owed the $10 million.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he
his house, his wife, his kids,
uh-huh.
Everything
was
to be made.
Yeah, I mean,
made a bold decision, man.
Anything he owned was going to be auctioned. Everything. They want to take everything from him. Everything. Because that's a lot of money. And even then, he wouldn't be able to finish paying for it. So, what was the servant's request? The first one.
Mercy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said he would repay everything. And could he have repaid his debt?
Not in his lifetime.
I doubt it. In Matthew 18:27, what attitude did the master show toward his servant?
Mercy.
Compassion.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
What attitude did God show toward us and our debt, our sin?
Oh, he paid the debt for all our sins.
Yeah. He showed love, mercy.
Yeah, he showed us the same thing that this master showed the servant. Compassion and forgiveness. All right, Matthew 18:28. The servant that had been forgiven had a fellow servant who owed him how much?
$20.
At that time, it was a day's wage, right?
A day's wage.
Wow.
What was this servant's attitude towards his fellow servant? Well, this one, this is the guy that was forgiven much. What was his attitude towards the fellow servant?
Not the same one that he got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he became violent, right? Very impatient.
Yeah.
And unforgiving, all the opposite of how his master treated him. Total opposite.
Yeah.
After being forgiven of so much. Matthew 29:30, what did this servant do to his fellow servant?
Had him locked up.
Yeah.
Sent him to prison.
Yeah, when he himself didn't even get to see prison. Wow. He cast him into prison until he would be able to pay that little, tiny, small debt. $20. My goodness. Matthew 18:31-33. What did the master call the unforgiving servant?
Wicked. Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked.
That's harsh. Oof.
Wicked. That's a Jamaican term, wicked.
What did the master tell his servant he should have done?
He should have done the same thing. He said you should have the same compassion I have for you.
Yeah.
For your fellow servant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I forgave you. You should have been forgiven too.
Yeah, and he should have released him, right? And forgiven him.
Yeah.
And have pity on him. Like he told you, he'll pay you back. $20 is a big difference compared to $10 million.
Yes.
Wow. Matthew 18:34. When the master found out what had happened, how did it affect his emotions? Yep.
Oh, he was upset.
He's
like, I can't believe this.
He was furious.
Yeah, so, let's have you locked up like you had him locked up. How's that?
Yeah, he was angry.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Did this unforgiving servant by his actions or decision forfeit the forgiveness that had been offered to him originally?
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did, yeah.
It sure did.
Thank God Jesus doesn't do that to us
because we'd be in trouble. Yeah, we would be lost. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't even want to think about it.
No rest, that's for sure. No rest.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Jesus saying to us, okay, I'm taking back my forgiveness.
Oh, man. I'd be on my knees right away.
Yeah, I'd be
crying, man.
Crying.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Matthew 18:35, what is the point of this parable? From the Message Bible, it says, and that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. So what is the point of this parable?
Yes, so you can be forgiven.
Man. And do it quickly. We do not want the wrath of God. Mm-mm. Or, you know, the worst thing about it is, I think it's what Brother Mark and Vinny, you said about peace. Man, there's no peace.
No.
When you're not walking in peace, there's no clarity. There's no soundness of mind. You can't even hear the voice of God because you're constantly being stressed about that root of bitterness, unforgiveness. Yeah. It's always there until...
And what happens, too, it probably multiplies. So you don't forgive this person, and then now you see everybody. You're not forgiving nobody. Oh, the cashier at the place, he didn't even speak to me tonight. Oh, this one, you know, now you're always complaining because it's like a snowball. It's not like I have unforgiveness and that's it. Then you get unforgiveness to this person, and then this person, and this one bothers, and this.
You're just an unhappy person.
And that's what will happen. You'll be unhappy.
Yeah, because everything will tick you off. Everything. Yes. Even, have you ever been around people and they're eating, and even the sound of the chewing ticks you off? Why am I ticked off by this? I'm like, what? It's crazy. And I'm like, what's going on inside of me right now? Why is that bothering me? But, you know,
close your mouth.
Oh, my God. But you really got to look deep inside and say, Lord, can you examine my heart? Can you, like, what's going on? You know? But, you know, you get ticked and you get bothered by things quickly when you have something that bothers you.
Yes. Easily agitated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so true. Oh, my God. It, you know, it's funny and it's not funny, right? This is a serious lesson. it's a good lesson. And I mean, oh my goodness.
Ooh. Because what did it say? Did it say tormentor or tormentors?
Plural.
Plural. So that means means that's what I'm saying, because everything then becomes, that unforgiveness doesn't stay like a little unforgiveness. It starts growing like a root.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a domino effect, because now it's going to affect everything else in your life.
Right.
And unfortunately, for a lot of believers, well, a lot of Christians, right? Sometimes they don't even realize there's still a root of unforgiveness inside of them. And this is why you know, even David, right? King David, and David, he would say, Lord, you know, examine my heart and see if there's anything that is not fruitful inside of me, anything that I need to root out that I may not even know about. And this is a prayer that we should be doing too, right? I said, Lord, is there anything inside of me? And I've done that, and God has revealed some stuff. Let me tell you, some stuff, including, as you guys know, Liz, I don't know if I mentioned this after that, but how I was jealous of married couples. Like, I didn't know that, but God revealed that to me, and that was holding me back. I didn't know that. So you see, God showed me a picture. I was reading something, and God showed me, and then I heard that small, still voice, and said, you know, because I was seeing a vision of a couple, and he's showing me, you're jealous. And then he explained it to me. I was like, what? Oh, my God. I felt horrible, and I didn't even realize that I was. And I asked the married couples on the next time when I saw them in church. I said, and I even went to my siblings. And I said, forgive me, because, you know, I didn't realize. But again, the Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth, of all truth. If you ask, he will answer. You ask, he will show you. You know, this is why in the book of Habakkuk, and I know we're past the time, but in the book of Habakkuk, I think it says to do a watch, right? Like, it wants you to watch and then write the vision down and see. Like, there's a lot of components in just the first two verses, but, you know, God will definitely, you'll see with your eyes. This is why Hebrews 12:2, it says, you know, to fix our eyes on the Lord, right? Because he is the author and finisher of your faith. So we got to see it, and that means seeing the image. See what God is showing you, because God will show you a picture even when you're reading scripture, but he can show you an image. He can show you a picture. He can, you know, this is why imagination is really powerful. You know, Christian imagination is powerful, because God will show you. And once you begin to relate with God with visions, he's going to increase them. And the Word of God says that in the last day, God will show, you know, show the young people more and more visions and dreams. Yes. And that's how he speaks to us, right? Yes. Listen, if God can get your attention reading the Word, he'll get it somehow. And maybe he'll show you a picture, or he'll show you a vision, or he'll even tap you. Like, it's like a Holy Spirit tap, right? Like, like he did, you know, with some of us, right? Hey, I need to talk to you. Like, come, you know, sit with me quietly. You know, sometimes God will ask you, listen, I need a long time. But you'll know within your spirit that you need to sit with God, because he's trying to tell you something. He's trying to show you something that you're not getting, or something that's hidden that hasn't been revealed to you. God is trying to expose his mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a problem with that. He wants to show you things. But he wants you to want to see them. Like, he needs you, God, show me. Like, we need to go to him. God, show me. What decision should I make? Should I go right? Should I go left? Should I go straight ahead? Like, he wants you to ask him. He wants to show you. Because the spirit is inside of you. The spirit's your, he's not only your helper. If you go back to that word, the Greek word parakitos or something like that. I had it. I wrote it down earlier. But anyway, that word doesn't mean helper. It means more than that. not only is the Spirit of your helper, He's your guide, He's your counselor, He's your comforter, He's your peace, He's everything you need Him to be. That's who the Spirit of God is to you. So He just doesn't reveal, He shows, He guides, He helps, He assists. So the Spirit is so much more than what we think it is. Just like the word salvation, right? Remember last week we spoke about zozo. Zozo means faith, but it also means healed, delivered, restored, blessed. So, you know, the Greek words have a lot of meaning. That's why it's always good to go back to the Greek and see, okay, what does this word mean? So, but the Spirit is so much more than a helper. You know, He's a revealer, you know. He shows you. He's the light, you know. There's so much more we can say, right? But anyway, good lesson. Great lesson.